First Class Fatherhood. That is where Alec Lace comes in with his popular podcast.
And one of the most interesting was on a podcast.
Alec Lace interviews high-profile fathers from actors to NFL players with a vision to change the narrative of fatherhood and family life.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 717 of First Class Fatherhood. I'm happy and honored, as always, to be here with you guys. I hope everybody had a happy and healthy 4th of July yesterday, enjoyed some fireworks and some barbecue, enjoyed your freedom, and just absolutely blessed to be living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's how I feel. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in this country right now. Many people trying to really kind of bring down America, destroy America. But it is still the shining light in this world. So God bless the USA. I hope everybody enjoyed, as I said. And today I got a very special guest joining me on the podcast. Jesse Kelly will be here with me. He is very well known for hosting the popular The Jesse Kelly Show. You can hear it on multiple radio stations throughout the country. Jesse is a veteran. He joined the United States Marines in 2000, served for 4 years, served in Iraq, was then honorably discharged. In 2010, Jesse Kelly ran for Congress in Arizona. He ran as virtually an unknown and was just narrowly defeated by Gabrielle Giffords. There had to be a recount on the vote, and that really kind of propelled him into the spotlight. He grew a massive following on social media, where he continues to be very, very popular. And as I said, he is the host of The Jesse Kelly Show. It's an honor to have him on this podcast today. Jesse Kelly is going to be here with me in just a few minutes, so please stick around for the interview. And today's interview with Jesse Kelly was recorded on video and is available for you guys to watch on my YouTube channel. So you're going to watch today's conversation between Jesse Kelly and myself. Please subscribe to First Class Fatherhood on YouTube. Link is in the description of today's podcast episode. All right, I just want to say thank you for those of you who are following me over on Rumble with The Alec Lace Show, the new show that I launched almost a month ago, where I really dive more into the politics that are affecting parents in this country. Last week, I had the honor of being joined by Carrie Lake. So I've had some great guests over there. If you've missed out on any of the show, get over to Rumble and look for First Class Fatherhood. You'll find all the back episodes of The Alec Lace Show. The Alec Lace Show is also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. So if you're interested in more political content or political commentary, go check out The Alec Lace Show. I broadcast live every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, today's episode is being brought to you by MyPillow. The 4th of July blowout sale is going on. It still continues to go on this week. Mike Lindell, maybe his biggest sale yet, up to 80% off on every item in the store. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code FATHERHOOD to take advantage of all of the offers. You'll find the link in the description of the podcast episode as well. But this is a big one. It's a fireworks celebration bonanza over there at MyPillow.com. Don't miss out on the savings. I believe the sale will end this week before moving on to another promotion. But this one's the big one. I don't think you'll see another one like this for the rest of the year. So get over to MyPillow.com and use the promo code FATHERHOOD. You're going to save up to 80% on your order. And don't forget to follow me over on Instagram at Alec_Lace for all the upcoming guest announcements, both on First Class Fatherhood and The Alec Lace Show. And as always, if you can help me spread the word about today's podcast, every father in your neighborhood or in your contact list, and let them know about the show that's here celebrating fatherhood and family life. You guys know it. Father's Day is every day right here on the podcast. And here comes my interview straight up with Jesse Kelly on First Class Fatherhood. Joining me now, First Class Father, Jesse Kelly. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood.
I don't know about it. I don't know if I'm a First Class Father, but I'm trying not to screw him up too bad.
Well, when you make the show here, that's what you are for the next 15 minutes at least. So that's what we're going to call you. If you could start right there, how many kids do you have? How old are they?
I got two boys. My oldest is James. Youngest is Luke. They are 14 and 12.
Wow, very cool. If you could, Jesse, just for those who don't know, just take a second to hit them with a little bit about your background and what you do.
Yeah, well, I host a radio show, The Jesse Kelly Show, and I do a TV show. I'm right, and I wrote a book called The Anti-Communist Manifesto. Before that was only about 5 years I've been doing that. Before that, I've been a normal person. I sold RVs, and I was in the Marines and worked construction and just kind of did normal person stuff most of my life.
Well, take me back 14 years then, if you could. How old were you when you became a father, and how did that experience change your perspective on life?
I was young. Young for today's age. That's not young. Young is not a fair way to put it. Kids, kids were having kids for most of human history. I was, let me see, shoot, I was pretty fresh out of the Marines. I think I was 25, 26 years old when we had our first son. And to be honest, I wished I'd even done it earlier than that. We got married and we were doing that whole let's wait 5 years thing and enjoy ourselves. And as it happens, whoopsie, in a couple of years, oops, there she is, she's pregnant. And so we had our first boy. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget. She goes through labor, obviously. It's just not fun for her. But she goes through labor in the hospital. And he comes out. James comes out. And you can't see because I have a beard now, but I have a cleft chin. And he comes out as a little tiny little newborn. He had my chin. And I'll never forget that moment looking down at my son. And I said, my wife's name is Aubrey. And I call her Aubrey. I said, Aubrey, that's my chin. No way. That's my chin. And it was just awesome, man. And I don't know what it's like for women. I suspect, having talked to my wife about it, that they enjoy being the kids being young. They enjoy them being babies. The younger, the better. You know, they get to care for them and things like that. I can only speak for me as a father. Every day they've gotten older is better. It's just the greatest thing in the world. Now I'll get home and those two meatheads will come try to beat me up when I walk in the door, and I'll have to square them away and we'll laugh and we talk about things. It's just, they ask me questions about life. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the things sometimes that drives me nuts, Jesse, is when you hear some of the older parents telling these young parents that, oh, just wait till they start teething or just wait till they start walking. They try to scare the new parents into worrying about what's coming. But I always try to say, wait till they get a little older. Wait till you can start talking to them and having conversations, throw the ball with them, take them out fishing, take them to the ball game. It all gets better. And I think so many, for some reason, it feels like seasoned parents have this need to scare the new parents into, oh, just wait with these warnings. And I wish more parents would be sort of ambassadors for fatherhood.
Oh, 100%. It's one of my pet peeves. I can't stand when people do that. And I don't know that anybody's going to heed my words on this, but hear me right now. If you're a young couple, young married couple out there, start making babies and make a lot of them. It is the greatest frigging thing in the world. And you're right. They tell you every stage is going to suck. Oh, when they start walking, it's going to suck. Well, I thought it was hilarious. They're running into stuff. They're falling down. You're picking them up. You're guiding them around. Just wait till they turn into teenagers. Well, I've got a 14-year-old now. This little snotty attitude every now and then doesn't bother me one little bit. I just crack down on him, and then we laugh about it later, and I talk about him. He's asking me adult questions now. And then you see, this is one of the most amazing things now as they get a little older. They will ask other people questions like in conversation, as if they're interested in them. You see them go from being me, 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 I'm hungry, I want to sleep, I want this, I want that, to the other day we were sitting down and I forget what we were, oh, I was eating a snack out of the pantry. My oldest was out there in the kitchen. He was getting some stuff and he came in and he just asked me, hey dad, how was work today? I don't know. Like, what? Now that sounds small for people with really, really grown kids, but your kids aren't like that for a while. And then eventually, wow, he's sitting there conscious of someone else. I want to ask a question, curious about someone else. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it seems like so many people, Jesse, who don't have kids, they kind of get stuck in that mold that they were when they got out of college or they got out of high school. Like, they're still that same person. They don't really evolve as much. Like, I know I have four kids. My oldest is 17 now, and it's like I have changed, grown, developed so much more because I became a father that I never could have experienced had I not had kids, and I would have kind of still been stuck in the mold of who I was back then. But because they grow, because they change, it helps you to do that too. And I know a lot of people say, you know, having kids costs a lot of money, and I always say, well, if you think having kids costs a lot of money, wait till they hit you with the bill for never having any. Because you talk to these people that are 60 and up that never had kids, lonely and regretful that they never had kids in their life.
Yeah, and life isn't about money, is it? And I've always laughed at that because poor people have been having kids in mud huts since you know, since the times of Jesus. Don't tell me you can't have kids because you haven't gotten that promotion at work yet. I do understand that they do cost. I'm not dismissive of that. There is a cost. And Lord knows, especially when we were young married couple without a bunch of money, those trips to Babies R Us, which I don't even know if that exists anymore, those trips to Babies R Us, they hurt, man. And you're in the Babies R Us with coupons, trying to afford diapers and stuff like that. I know that. But there has never been even the briefest moment where we thought, man, this was a mistake. If anything, if I'm being honest with you and your audience, our mistake, I think, was not having more. We had our first. And then she got pregnant. We lost one. We had a miscarriage with the second, and that hurt. You know, lots of people have gone through that. It hurts. And then we had our second, our healthy baby boy, Luke. And because of the hurt of the lost one, we said, you know what? Let's call it quits. We had our two. We got two healthy boys. Let's call it quits. Man, I wish I had five or six of those idiots running around my house right now, even though it cost me a fortune to feed them.
You know, it's crazy, too, because people don't realize how sometimes the miracle that this entire thing is and how many things have to go right in order for you to have kids. We went through the miscarriages as well. And, you know, we stopped. We had three boys, then got our girl on the fourth try. So we called it a day on that. But it is difficult. And there is so much that goes into it. It has to go right. And one of the things that I focus on a lot on this show, Jesse, is the fatherless crisis that we have going on in our country, where so many kids are growing up without a father in their home. And we talk about all of these other issues. But they all stem out of the fatherless crisis, because every one of these things, crime, homelessness, teenage pregnancy, suicide, all of these things that are plaguing our society, if you look at the root cause, you could trace it right back to the majority of it coming from the broken families in this country. What's your take?
Oh, you're right. Every problem in this country, no matter what the problem is, every problem comes back to the home, and it comes down and comes back to the breakdown of the nuclear family. The nuclear family is what builds a society. It's not the government. It's not even the school system. It's not the entertainment system. It is the nuclear family. If you have a society, no matter how big, of strong nuclear families, you will have a strong society. And if you have a society like ours, where the homes are broken, so many homes are broken, it's going to break down everything else. I'm sure you talk about it all the time. The statistics are undeniable. They're undeniable for how your percentages, your odds, I should say, if dad's gone versus your odds if dad's there. It's not even like you have to be some kind of all-star father. I'm certainly not. Are you there? Right? Just be there. Dad needs to be there. And that we've gone away from that is really, it is the beginning. It's the genesis of so many of our problems we see now.
Yeah, and we always talk about the negative things that come out of it with the father not being there, but the positives of the father being there. Like, if you just look at the most successful demographics in our country, the Asian community, the Indian community, they have the highest percentage of intact families. And it's no coincidence that those are the groups of people that are earning the most, that have the least amount of homelessness, that have the least amount of people in prisons. Like, these things aren't just a matter, you know, just a wow, look at that. What a coincidence. So and now getting you tying this into your book here, the Anti-Communist Manifesto. How much of this do you get into in the book about, I mean, the communist playbook here, destroying the nuclear family? When you hear like the president of the United States saying there's no such thing as somebody else's kids, these are our children. They talk about separating parents and kids belong to the community. That's right out of the communist playbook. That's right out of the socialist playbook. So do you get into this book? What's the book all about? Talk to me about it.
The book's about various parts of American communism now, because that's what we are here in this country now, with from the climate change stuff to the BLM crap to that, exactly what you just said. And yes, I go into it into the book. Since the days of Lenin and Stalin, communists have understood you have to infiltrate and blow up the nuclear family, because people who are settled in a nuclear family and taught values, taught right from wrong, taught these things, they're just not susceptible to falling prey to that evil demonic religion of communism. But you get somebody from a broken home, or you manage to break them away from their home, that will allow you to get that person into your group, to recruit them into your group. It's part of why we see so much of this LGBTQ push on children these days. People all from all over, every party will ask, why the kids? Why the kids? I don't understand the kids. Why do you have to bring the kids there? Why are you talking to kindergartners about there? Why the kids? The point is to destroy the child, to break the child's bonds from his parents. That way that child will be easily recruitable, and to break that child mentally. You want that child broken mentally, because a broken child, listless, doesn't know who he is, I think I'm a woman, is an easy recruit for these horrible people. But a child from a loving home who carries the values of his parents, of his forefathers along with him, is not somebody who's going to go along with you. And yeah, I talk about it extensively in the book.
Yeah, and it just seems like getting the parents out of the way gives them free rein. But, I mean, it's in the school system, so it's like you think you're sending your kid to school all day. They're getting it there. They're getting it on their phones from all these social media apps. They're getting targeted by it every day. So it's very hard to combat this. And, you know, I just recently had Navy SEAL Drago Duran. He just had a book come out. He's a guy that was born in communist-occupied Poland, went into the gulag for 2 years, escaped, came to the United States, became a Navy SEAL for 20 years. His story is incredible. And he talks about, you know, what he's seeing in America and comparing it to the communism that he left. And it seems like the people that leave these places that were filled with communists understand it so much more than we see, like, the left side of America, the liberal side, saying, oh, they didn't do it right. They didn't do communism right. They didn't do socialism right. We can do it right this time. We can do it better. And it seems like how dumb can you be to think that you're going to magically find a way to make this thing work that hasn't worked through all of human history?
Well, they're insane. And it's so funny you brought that up. I just had a book tour for it. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I had all kinds of people who had escaped Cuba when I stopped in Florida that came in. But the one that sticks out to me, we did a signing in Salt Lake City. And a lady showed up there, thick Russian accent. She flew from Sacramento, California to Salt Lake City just to meet me about the book and sign it. And she just wanted to thank me for warning people. And she said, people do not understand. This is exactly what I left. I think she'd fled when she was 18, 19 years old. She said, this is exactly what I left. It's all happening right now. When people aren't listening to me, I'm telling you, this is what happened in my country and they're not listening.
Yeah, very scary stuff. Let me bring it back to you as a dad here. Because one thing for me, I know the discipline that I do with my kids changes as they now. I know you have a teenager as well. So, you know, one of the important things about the father's presence in the home is the discipline portion of it. Because when that's not there, you see what happens with these kids that are on the street with no father figure. They're undisciplined and it wreaks havoc on our societies. But what type of disciplinarian are you as a dad? And is that different than the discipline style you grew up with?
Probably depends on who you ask, to be honest with you, what kind of disciplinarian I am. Now, the wife would probably say that I'm actually the soft one. I don't know that I would agree with that. It would be more of the stick comes out rarely, but when it does, you don't want it. Not that I actually use a stick on them, but I'm more the one to when I tell them to go to bed at 9 and I hear them stomping around and wrestling with each other and I go walk into the room and they're play fighting on the ground and laughing, I have a very difficult time getting angry or even pretending to be angry. I get a half a smirk on my face and I say, go to bed, you meatheads. So in that way, you probably could say I'm the soft one. That said, if you don't say thank you, if you don't say please, if you don't look someone in the eye when you're talking to them, if they disrespect their mother, if they talk back to their mother, you don't want me to be there when that stuff happens because I'm going to square that stuff away. And as far as punishing them goes, it's really quite easy to punish kids, especially as they get older. You just find what they love and take it away from them. That's all there is to it. My oldest son, he loves to draw, not just physical drawings, computer graphic stuff. He's just one of those types of kids. His brain works that way. So, all right, computer's mine. He'll straighten up in a day. That's all there is to it. Just find what they love and take it away from them. But I'll tell you, I don't know if this works out all the time, but we cracked down on them early. We were the parents. We would discipline, you know, when our kids were one, they would get disciplined. You don't get to act like an idiot. You don't get to yell and scream. There are things you aren't allowed to do. And we don't have to discipline them very much anymore. We noticed very early on, we kind of set them on that path and they're pretty freaking good kids.
Yeah, and just on that, like I remember, and I try to do this to new parents when we see them out and we're out eating dinner and stuff. I remember being a new parent with two kids, you know, under three and being at a restaurant for like the first time. And we're thinking like, oh, my God, dude, we're disturbing everybody. We're trying to control the situation. And an elderly couple came up to us after they finished their meal. And we're like, hey, we just want to let you know you guys are doing a great job. Your kids are so well behaved. And I can't tell you like what that did for me, you know, my confidence as a father, you know. So I always make sure that I do that to other young parents when I see them out there, because I know just what it meant to me. And you always think that your kids are misbehaving so much in public when really it's not as bad as you think as the parent when you're going through it.
That's so true. And it's funny you brought that up. That happened to us, has happened to us several times throughout our marriage when we're out at a restaurant like that. And it has blessed me so much when people have done it that we are going to start doing that as well. Start blessing other young couples because you get so self-conscious when your kid, you know, makes one loud noise or something like that, people don't mind. And the ones who do are jerks anyway. Now, that said, don't let your kid run around like an animal in a restaurant. Have your kid sit down and square himself away and keep his voice down. But parents get, they get, the good parents get self-conscious. The bad ones just let them go.
Yep. Yeah. And you could kind of tell. I mean, it's pretty easy to spot it when you say, well, this kid's undisciplined. This kid's got no, the parents aren't doing it. It's pretty easy to spot, especially too, when you start coaching kids and you have them on teams and soccer and football and stuff, you could tell from the home, and it's where it all starts and why it's so important. Yeah. But I know I'm running up against it here. Anti-communist manifesto. Real quick, what is the solution here? What do we do to fight back against this? How do we stop this communist, Marxist, socialist ideology that's coming full force into American homes?
Well, there are a bunch of things, practical things people, normal people can do. And I outline a lot of that stuff as far as getting involved in local elections and things. But honestly, it's perfect for your podcast, Alec. If people really want to do anti-communism, you really want to stop what's happening in this country. I know it doesn't make sense, but start a family. Young men marry a young woman. Young women marry a young man and start a family and raise them with values. Look, it's a little vulgar to talk about, but you know we can outbreed these people, right? We should start families and we should outbreed the enemy because they're not having kids, all these pink-haired turbo freaks. Let's start good families and raise them with values, and in the end, we will win. There's nothing better you can do for your country than by staying together as a family and raising a good family.
Yeah, right on with that. It leads right into my last question here, Jesse. I love to ask all the dads that I get on the podcast, what type of advice do you have for that new dad or for that about to be father who's out there listening?
Give yourself some grace. I need this advice for myself, which is why I give it to others. I live in fear every day that I'm going to pass the bad things about me along to my son and or my sons. And every now and then I'll even voice that concern to my wife. Hey, I'm worried that, you know, he lost his temper today. I know he gets that from me. I'm worried about that. And she will, to her credit, say, Jesse, you are the best father ever. You're always teaching them things. You love your boys. You don't give yourself enough grace. So dads, just be there. Just love them and be there and teach them everything you can possibly teach them and treasure every minute. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, well said. I love the message. It's been an honor for me. I got to say, Jesse Kelly, you are a first-class father all the way. And thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time here on First Class Fatherhood.
Thank you, Alec. I appreciate you having me on, buddy.